This is JFM Podcast. A beautiful morning to you, then. Thank you so much for choosing J101.9 FM. You're on to the show. Let's talk your political, social, and current affairs show right here in the city of Jos. Welcome to the show. Today is the 14th of November, 2023. My name is Abigail Seaman, and welcome to another new dispensation. And today on the show, we will be looking at the off-season elections and looking at it from the point of the observers and what they think went wrong and what they think should be done right. Welcome to the show. But before that, some of the stories we're following at the hour. Labour shuns court order, declares indefinite strike. The organised Labour has ordered its members to withdraw services and shut down the nation indefinitely beginning from 12 midnight. And the leadership of the Nigerian Labour Congress, NLC, and the Trade Union Congress, TUC, gave the directives at a joint press conference in Abuja. Now, the National Industrial Court has restrained the two labor centers and their affiliates from embarking on the planned nationwide strike. But the TUC president, Festus Osifo, who led the briefing, said government has refused to yield to Congress demands regarding the recent attack and brutalization of NLC President Joe Ajaero in Owerri, Imo State, 2 weeks ago, while leading union members on a strike against alleged abuse of workers' rights by the state government. Today on the show, we will be talking about the off-season elections in Imo, Kogi, Bayelsa, and Nigeria's dissatisfaction that has grown within the electoral activities, which ranges from electoral violence to voter suppression and resort manipulation. And today on the show, we will be speaking with a representative from Yaga Africa, who is their senior communication officer, Mark Amaza. Lovely morning to you and welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Mark Amaza is joining us via the phone lines from Abuja. It's good to have you here. It's good. We talk about the off-season election and even the elections generally. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Before I begin or start to pinpoint what happened at the off-season election, let's talk about the election generally, where your civil society organization has been monitoring and be observing the election so far, so good. For you people, you have been on the front burner when it comes to elections, election processes, and even the violence that had intruded in different communities. So far, so good. Would you say that elections have been conducted fair and square in the country?
No, there are sort of gaps in our elections. We see bright spots of improvement, but then, there are sort of gaps that need to be taken care of. Mm.
All right. I wanted to ask you, because yesterday your organization spoke to the press about concerning the off-season elections. What are some of the key observations and trends in the off-season elections that contributed to what I will call the growing dissatisfaction among Nigerians?
So I think with this election in particular, this off-cycle election,
yes,
was one of the things we saw a hugely. Well, let's talk about the bright spots we saw first. It's not all negative.
Yeah, all negative.
We did
yes.
We did see deployment of beavers, which has done well, mostly well. We've seen a lot more security, fewer incidents of violence. We've seen those. We've seen a compliance, but transmission of electronic transmission of results, which was done mostly well, which is good.
Yeah.
However, we still note incidents where, for example, there were cases of there were vote buying. There were cases where there's some polling did not use beavers for accreditation.
Mm.
We saw cases of ballots snatching in some places. We saw places where there was voters were intimidated and harassed. We saw significant, particularly two cases in Kogi State where pre-filled election results sheets were found with polling unit officials at the start of elections.
Mm.
And in all of these cases, we made clear specifically this is where this happened, because we are relying firsthand information from our observers, and those are what we authoritatively speak to. And we always make clear those cases. We also saw cases where elections did not take place in Imo State, and yet we had the results of those places uploaded to the INEC results viewing portal.
Mm.
So those are instances we've seen, and we have called on INEC to look at it. We've also asked INEC to audit the Imo State governorship election results,
yes,
because we're unable to verify the results from our own observation. Mm. So we asked for the audit of those results. However, for Kogi State, we've seen that the results as announced by INEC, from the voter turnout to the scores called by candidates, fell within the ranges from our election observation based on our methodology.
All right. Well, it seems like INEC has a feather, and at the same time, a feather has to be taken out again. Generally, I'm not necessarily fixating on the off-season election, but the election so far, which had to be the presidential and that of gubernatorial and also House of Reps that was conducted within this year. One of the peculiar things that have come up is what I would call Nigerians not trusting in the electoral process and not trusting in the Independent National Electoral Commission when it comes to the conduct of elections in the country. For you or for your organization, I would talk to the organization because you speak for them. Are there things that are still, we still need to get right moving forward?
Yes, there are. There are things we still need to get right. While we have seen reforms work, we were in the forefront of pushing for an Electoral Act amendment that happened early last year.
Yes.
While we've seen some of those reforms work, we also know that in the end, reforms will only work if all stakeholders follow on the reforms. So there are still a lot of gaps we need to have taken care of. For example, I made mention of electronic transmission of results.
Yes.
This was a hard-fought battle we were part of to ensure to allow INEC able to transmit results. However, the oversight of the error was in giving INEC the discretion to do that.
Mm.
And that needs to be made mandatory, because transmitting results electronically from polling units, even from ward collation centers, gives a lot of visibility and transparency to the process. You know, allows citizens like you and I to sit in front of the comfort of our homes, people to check how each result are coming in. We may be able to know what plays out in our own polling units, but we can't see for every other polling unit. And technology is a very good tool to make that happen.
Mm.
We also need to see a huge change in regards to how the officials of INEC are appointed, from the chairman or chairperson to national commissioners to resident electoral commissioners. As far back as 2008, Justice Mahmoud Uwais' Committee on Electoral Reforms made the recommendation that those appointments should not be made by the president, but rather by an independent body. Because the president, by nature of being a politician, is an interested party in elections, or belongs to a political party, is an interested party in the elections. And we have seen in the last two appointments, in fact, but last three appointments or nominations, persons who are partisan, who do not pass the credibility and integrity test as prescribed in the Constitution for those appointments, being nominated. We raised alarm last year when federal electoral commissions were nominated.
Yeah.
We raised alarm about some of them being partisan. Those calls were ignored. And we started noting prior to the election in our election manipulation risk index about INEC being compromised in the state. And those played out with what we saw in Sokoto State, where the Congressional Electoral Commission was suspended and the administrative secretary took over the running of the elections. And also in Adamawa State, where the resident electoral commissioner unlawfully declared a winner of elections when she had been the returning officer. We've seen that again in the last month with the nomination of new commissioners. At least three of them were partisan. And as recent as the last elections, yet again, those calls have been ignored. And that's a dangerous trend in how we manage elections in this country. When you have partisan persons being appointed to the election management body, that should be impartial and non-partisan. That's a major change that needs to happen in our next set of reforms, the electoral legal framework. So those are things, of course, this commission is still in its early stages, and it's a commission that will involve all Nigerians, but we need to see how and where we can make those necessary changes, to whether it's to laws or guidelines within INEC to ensure that to improve the standard of our elections.
All right. You made mention of something, and I want to bring you back to that, where your organization raised concerns when it came to the appointments of some INEC recs by the president. You made mention of the fact that you people raised those calls, but it's almost like it fell on deaf ears. What does this mean exactly when it comes to the way we conduct elections? What does this mean when we raise alarms like this and we have our so-called leaders not beckoning on that call or not listening to that call? How does this affect us? How does this affect the credibility of yes, INEC, how does it affect INEC being independent as a body?
Well, well, like I explained earlier, when you have people who have been partisans, they'll become officials of INEC. It strips INEC of credibility in the eyes of citizens. Whether and actions, and you cannot expect impartiality from people who are already, or a person who already has a, how are you choosing a side to stand on? And there's a really huge importance in INEC itself, and official INEC being non-partisan. This is really, really important. But again, it's sad that this, what I call this INEC capture, is ongoing. And this is something that we see a lot at state level.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, states are responsible for conducting local government elections.
Yeah.
But hardly do we find those elections being credible, because oftentimes, whichever party is in power populates the commission with his or her party members, and, you know, strips it of every kind of credibility. And that's slowly creeping at the federal level, and which is something we need to really arrest before it gets to, before it becomes, you know, it gets worse.
Yes.
It also speaks a lot about the culture we have here around politics, or our political culture. This attitude of Nigerian politicians, or politicians to bend the law and break the law at will, to do whatever it takes to win elections. You know, rigging is not just about, you know, the violence on the day of elections,
yes,
or directing results. Even the perception of, you know, of lack of credibility goes a long way in harming electoral processes.
Mm-hmm.
But that mindset around we will do whatever it takes to win, mm-hmm, you know, is something that needs to be changed. It's something that, a culture that needs to change, if we really want to have enduring elections and a democracy that delivers.
One of the changes that we saw that occurred during this election, which was different from other elections, has to be the voter knowledge when it comes to the electorate. A lot of people were more aware of what should be done. A lot of people followed through the process. A lot of people were pretty much engaged when it comes to the electoral process. So far, so good. You made mention of technology, which in this new regime, they try to inculcate when it comes to the IRF portal, the beavers and all of that. But still, there are still a bit of hiccups here and there. I want to make projections, because I don't want us to dwell on the past, because once we dwell on the past, then we will not have solutions for tomorrow. The fact that we have seen that we really cannot transmit results in real time, what then should be the alternative for that?
I don't know if there should be an alternative for being transmission of election results. And just a point of correction is, you know, the technology allows for in near real time.
Yes.
From once it's been counted, mm-hmm, and sorted and approved, no transmitting in near real time, not in real time.
Mm.
But it's not something that, you know, like I said earlier, it's not like election results transmission results. It's what to replace collation.
Yes.
But it's good for that transparency, you know. It's something that we have gone a long way in pushing for that to be part of the law, to be allowed. So it should be done, because it has a lot of positive effects for improving the credibility of our elections. There's no alternative for that, in my view.
In your view, okay. So let's talk about Imo. Let's talk about Imo, Bayelsa, and Kogi. Most especially Imo, where it seems like violence was the order of the day, and also in Kogi State, we still have our elections still having a bit of taking a violent turn. We still see ballot box snatching, and as you mentioned earlier, rigging and all of that. How does this affect us as a people when we still have our elections being run the same way?
It goes a long way in affecting us in terms of how, you know, even citizens get encouraged to come out and vote. You know, a lot of people stayed off in Imo because of the feeling of insecurity. This is something we flagged in at least two pre-election reports, pre-election observation reports that we released.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those kind of instances of violence becomes more and more disheartening, to the point that voters begin to feel it's not worth it, you know, mm-hmm, to risk their lives to go out and vote. And that's why it's very, very important that beyond just prevention of the election violence, it also ensure that those who engage in election violence, you know, are punished, and even those who benefit from those who carry the election from the kind of election violence also are punished, to send strong message, whether it's to those who end up doing it or those who will permit or encourage their supporters to engage in electoral violence to not do so.
Well, when we say these people should be brought to book, should be punished, we say this all the time and we do not see anything done. We still see the same thing repeat itself. And a lot of people have already come up with the projection that come 2027, they probably wouldn't go out to vote because based off of what they have seen, it's almost like they don't trust the process anymore. I wanted to ask, when it comes to, yes, the violence and all of that. I remember Mahmoud Yakubu saying they were going to make sure that security agencies are going to be at these volatile areas or these flashpoints so that elections will be conducted there free and fair. But we still saw that happening. What do you make of all of this?
Well, it is unfortunate, like you said, that we have said this thing around punishing people engaging in electoral violence or electoral offenses and nothing is being done about it. But little is being done about it. And this is one of the reasons why we are part of the push to create an election offenses tribe commission that will just lead in the prosecution of those who engage in election offenses. That has been so far left to what is police or to INEC, which is a prosecutorial agency. And there are very few and far between that we see people being prosecuted and securing convictions against such persons. Unfortunately, that bill failed in the Ninth Assembly. It passed while it passed the Senate. It didn't pass in the House of Representatives until the Assembly ended. And that's one of the, so we're hoping that it gets reintroduced in this Tenth Assembly and becomes law. Regarding the presence of security agents, the police, as the lead security agency for elections, is the one that should be in charge of white security. One with feeling that you now have military presence for elections, and it leads to militarization of elections, which itself has a negative effect on voters because it discourages voters from turning out. And it speaks a lot to how we strengthen our policing to the point where the police is capable of ensuring that there's adequate security for elections without having to bring the military in and create this scene where it now creates a lot of fear among voters that they don't even turn out to vote. It's something that we really need to work on from now to all the other obstacle elections up to the way to 2027.
All right. From your organization official handle, yes, you people released a result that came out from Kogi State from two polling units. I think that is NA Ward and another ward, and you tagged INEC into it to see, and you've not gotten a response from INEC to today. So in terms of INEC's progress, do you think that this current electoral body is adequately equipped and prepared to address the challenges that has been witnessed in this off-season elections?
Okay, so regards to what we mentioned for Kogi and in those two points, Kogi, where we mentioned that there were pre-filled results sheets, INEC did respond.
Okay.
It's a statement that they're going to be looking into it, and we commend them for that quick response. We also want to follow up with them to ensure that they do really look into it, and those who are responsible for it are brought to book. It's very, very important that happens. So we've seen also INEC take action to cancel some polling units in Kogi State, in Ogunrimagongo, and where it said there will be fresh elections in those polling units. But also we call on INEC to ensure that to conduct that audit as we've requested of the Imo State governorship results, to verify, to conduct that audit to be sure that the results that they have called so far are accurate. You know, the processes itself are accurate that led to those results.
All right. One thing that a lot of people fear, and I'm going to bring back this question again because I want you to tell us how this would affect us come 2027, which is called voter apathy, because a lot of people, I'm for some people, this was their first time voting, and seeing the discrepancies here and there, misconduct here and there, had, let me put it in the lamest of words, broke their hearts. And you've heard people say, I won't go out to vote again, I won't be a part of this process again. And if we have people saying all of this, how would this affect us in the next elections that we would have? Would we be able to have, would we have our leaders just emerge from court verdicts? Or do you think that people will still have the tenacity to go out there and vote again?
So that's why one of the most important things we put out from our statement yesterday was that this was a missed opportunity for INEC to begin to restore that confidence of voters in the process.
Yeah.
Looking at all of these lapses, whether it's pre-filled election result sheets or upload of results from polling units where elections did not hold.
Mm.
So it's very, very important that INEC begins to do that work to, you know, restore that situation, whether it, we have more obstacle elections are coming up. We have two governorship elections next year. We have one more in 2024. We have two more in 2025.
Yeah.
We have two more in 2026. And that's not mentioning the numerous, already we have leadership seats at the federal and state levels that need to be filled,
yeah,
and there will likely be more vacancies. So it's very, very important for INEC to begin to to ensure that it raises the bar on the quality of elections to restore confidence in people for voting. Declining voter turnout, as has been since 2011, is something that should concern all of us.
Yes.
So very important for politicians and those in government to deliver good governance.
Mm.
You know, because that's the biggest selling point for democracy. That's the biggest selling point for elections, when, you know, you have elections, government deliver good governance, that will encourage people to turn out and vote. Because, you know, and even it's even in their own favor, because when there's a larger pool of voters to cast their votes, you have a larger chance of scoring more votes rather than contesting for a smaller pool of voters.
Mm.
I believe there's enough time between now and 2027 to make those improvements.
All right. Now, I'm going to take you outside of Yaga, and I'm going to talk to you as a Nigerian and somebody who also went out there to vote, right? If you're comfortable with that, let me ask you based off a lot of things has happened. One of the recent things that have been happening is when you lose an election, you're being told to go to the court, right? And then when you go to the court, a lot of people are not happy with the verdict that comes out for the court. How would this affect Nigerians moving forward, that Nigerians will go out there under the sun, in the rain, in the night, in the day to cast out their vote, and the court have the final say? What does this mean for our electoral process, and what would you say, how would this affect us moving forward?
I agree with you that it is not proper that elections keep being decided by the courts. The court should not be the final arbiter, decider of who gets into office or not. It should be the votes of people. This is not to say that the courts don't have an important role in adjudicating election cases, but we should be able to have an election process that do not have to be decided at court, to the point where filing of election petitions should be more the exception than the norm. And this doesn't just start at the election itself. It starts from within parties, from internal democracy of parties. How candidates are selected? Because there are a lot of pre-election matters regarding candidate selection that end up, you know, at court, and then, you know, forcing the court to make a choice for the people. So this starts from within parties. They need to enthrone internal democracy regarding how they run their affairs. Then to INEC itself, that how, in terms of how they conduct elections to ensure that the votes at the ballot, at the polling units, are the final determinants of the winners.
Let me ask you, based off of when it comes to reforms, you have people say we need security service reforms. Do you think in the INEC, or when it comes to our electoral process generally, there should be reforms? And if there should be, what kind of reforms should we be having?
Well, so I mentioned earlier on regarding appointment of INEC officials.
Yes.
That is one significant reform that needs to happen. So that's one. Other ones will be in terms of how we look at the Electoral Act 2022 and plug in loopholes, whether places where there are ambiguities regarding powers of INEC to review election results, or regarding how we apply technology. Those are also reforms that need to happen to the electoral legal framework and the INEC itself.
All right. My next question, before I finally let you go, I'm sure that you really out of your busy schedule gave us time. What steps do you think can be taken to empower and educate voters, ensuring that they are well informed and less susceptible to manipulation or suppression during elections?
Well, one is voter education is something that all parties should engage in. It's rather disappointing, in my view, that our parties do very little voter education, and I've mostly left it to INEC and then to civil society organizations to do that. They should also be taking the lead in, you know, in how they educate and engage voters, which, in my view, is one of the reasons why they end up resorting to tactics such as vote buying or whipping up sentiments to win votes rather than on the strength of their ideas.
Mm.
So there's need for that in terms of doing more work to getting voters to understand how the political system works, what are the rules around elections.
Yeah.
This was something that we did prior to the elections with, you know, on TV when we had election 1-1 in 5.
Mm.
That went a long way in educating voters how elections are conducted. So that's one need for that very, very deliberate education around those things.
Mm.
And then also ultimately it will also be in terms of how you deliver on good governance that will make it less likely for voters to want to cash in their votes for pittances.
Yes.
Because they believe that's the only thing they're getting in return for their votes.
All right. Before I know I said last question, but maybe last question. But generally, overall, with the elections conducted in Imo, Bayelsa and Kogi, would you say it was conducted free and fair?
Well, we do see there are a lot of lapses. We've pointed out the lapses. Like we said earlier, we are unable to verify Imo State results election based on the data we have, and that's why we call on INEC to audit the results. For Bayelsa, we didn't apply the same methodology, so we don't have a verdict on that yet.
Mm.
For Kogi, yes, we do see what their lapses. You know, for us, it's not just about it being free and fair. You have to meet a certain standard.
Mm.
And those are the standards where you fall short of those standards. That's what we call out. Even though the results issued by INEC fall within the ranges of what we expected for the candidates and for voter turnout, we still see where that lapses, and we still encourage INEC to look into it.
But if you say there are lapses, they have declared winners. Uzodima has been re-elected, Ododo won in Kogi, Diri in Bayelsa, and there are still lapses, and there are still elections to be conducted at different polling units. How then does this certify the credibility of such results?
Sorry, I didn't get the second part of your question.
I said we have Uzodima, who has been re-elected back and has been declared winner. We have that of Kogi, Ododo, Usman. We have in Bayelsa, Diri. And you mentioned that there are still lapses and there are still some polling units where elections have to be reconducted there. How then does this certify the credibility of that result?
So that's why I didn't certify the credibility. I only said the votes that they got fell within the ranges that we expected. And even though their winners declared, it doesn't eliminate the fact that there were lapses that need to be looked into.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Makamaza, who is the Senior Communications Officer of Yaga Africa. Thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, we can see that when it comes to election conduction in Nigeria, there are still going to be lapses. One of the things that beckons for answer is if there are lapses, who then is going back to the drawing board to get these things done? We talk about this over and over again. How prepared is INEC? Would INEC still wait till another 4 years and wait till the 11th hour to start preparing for an election that would put Nigerians on the edge? How long would it take them to? What is the level of preparedness? It still seems that the off-season election, which a lot of people thought that INEC will be able to gain back, permit me to use the word, their glory or clear their name in the air. And there's still a lot of discrepancies here and there. It is quite unfortunate or quite unfortunate. Well, you can be a part of the conversation this morning, 090-55-666-699 or 081-218-777-77. And you can follow us on our social media platform. On Facebook is facebook.com/JFMJoss and off Twitter at JFMJoss. And don't forget, we are on Instagram at JFMJoss and on YouTube at JTVJoss. Hello, good morning.
Very dynamic morning to you, Abigail.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Thank you very much. This is the voice of Angwarguba, great comrade Adonatiba Solomon.
Go ahead.
You see, Abigail, we have problem with our electoral systems. And most especially, as we always say, you know, before we transformed in the democratic system, we must have the old bodies who are all responsible to balance the democratic process.
Mm.
We must hold them responsible, we must have them intact, and they must have the democracy at heart. We cannot have INEC who are not sincere. As an independent body, independent National Electoral Commission, they have not been sincere to our democracy. And let me tell you, that is the reason why we cannot get it right in our democracy in Nigeria. It's laughable that the INEC, who are supposed to be independent, waiting for the incumbent, for the federal government to sponsor them to turn the result of the election upside down in their favor, and they will do. We have never had a credible election in Nigeria, but the one on the plateau, it was very credible. Let me tell you, governorship election on the plateau, National Assembly election on the plateau was very, very credible. In a way that there is credible election, you see, they will try to truncate it. That is what is happening on the plateau today. In a way that there is abnormalities, they will not allow, and if they favor the incumbent government, they will let it go. And there is, you know, and this, the government will always say that they are handling insecurity. These are some factors that lead to insecurity in every country. But would you want to hold the government accountable? They should allow the INEC to do their work as an independent body.
All
if we continue the way we are today, we will hardly see the green light of democracy in Nigeria. I'm telling you, Abigail.
All right.
I'm holding the INEC to be sincere. I urge judiciary, who has been canceled. In fact, judiciary today, they are more harmful than COVID-19 in Nigeria today.
That's funny.
I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, that is just the truth of it. That is what we're facing today. What is happening with the plateau? Do we have problem with the election in the plateau? Was there crisis during the election? Why after the election? Why? Who is taking PDP to court? That is, I'm begging you, Jason.
All right.
Because please, you know, Hussein.
All right.
On board.
All right.
Explain the problem to us here.
All right, then. Thank you so much, comrade, for your contribution. 0905566699 or 0812187777. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hello. Good morning. You have to speak up. I'm struggling to hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Hello. Good morning.
Can you hear me? Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from? Madam Queen, welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you. You see, Africa, what is happening to our is very, very obvious.
All right, Madam Queen, you're going to have to call us back because we are struggling to hear you. Do well to call us back. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Abigail, good morning.
Morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Thank you, comrade speaking.
All right, go ahead.
Bernard.
Go ahead, comrade Bernard.
Please make up for me, whatever it is.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you for your grace that the via this. And so, Abigail, I want to ask, if we destroy the democratic institution and electoral process in this, which system of government will you going to adopt? You see what happened in off-season elections? A scientific region, INEC result sheet with syrup before the election. Then a child gets his certificate in the university without the approval of the VC or the registrar. Who gave them that those fee sheets? Is it the extent we are going, there's no technology we will adopt that work? That reader was even better than the DVS. So we are talking now. What are we going to do? You see the unvoted numbers of voter distance transferred through IREV into the DVS. Area that nobody voted, you see people rolling out number of people. What I want to tell Nigeria should not sleep. Because when you say APC won, PDP will go and relax, Labour will go and relax. It's not so. Checkmate them, because they are not good. You cannot get democracy when they are not Democrats. That is the truth of the matter. So, what I'm saying is that when we are talking about electoral fraud, electoral offensive, do you remember what happened in Adamawa or Taraba?
It's Adamawa State, the wreck.
Adamawa State.
Yes.
Somebody went to the interdiction collective, announced a governor win. Look at what happened for Lagos. MC Oluomo was the other man with motor power.
Yes.
You know what happened?
You see this Onano government, all of these people were giving promotion to them.
Mm.
If we don't punish people that contravene the electoral process, where can we go? How do we get it better? 2027 will be a war. The so-called allow that Tinubu won. I know that it's going to talk to them. 2027 alone will be a war because if people don't have repercussion for the action, it will continue to increase.
All right, Comrade Bernard, thank you so much for your contribution this morning. Well, a lot of people are dissatisfied by the off-season government polls. Well, Tinubu is loud in INEC. He's saying, congratulated Hope Uzodinma of Imo State, Governor Doye Diri of Bayelsa State, and Governor-elect Usman Ododo of Kogi State on their victory in the November 11 governorship elections in their respective states. And Tinubu's special advisor on media and publicity, Ajuri Ngaleli, said in a statement that the president's Tinubu says the outcome of the elections reflects the wishes of the people, emphasizing that democracy thrives when voters reward competence, transparency, and good governance. And the president also commended the electorate in Imo, Kogi, and Bayelsa for their participation in the electoral process. I myself, for one, a bit surprised that people still went out to vote, because I was thinking that there would be some sort of voter apathy and people wouldn't go out to vote. And just to tell you that we are concerned about making Nigeria work. We're concerned about seeing that we are fruitful people, and not just by mouth, but by coming out there to vote for our leaders. Well, in as much as there were a lot of, well, allegations, not really allegations, rigging, ballot snatching, a bit of violence, people still went out there to vote. That is to tell that the hearts of Nigerians are very much concerned about the country. It's the 0905566699 or 08121877777. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Abigail. And I don't know who is that. You're Indian and you're
here. Good morning, welcome to the show.
Radio Mama, I don't know. Calling from Russia.
Go ahead, Radio Mama.
What do you expect the president to say? All I want to say is that our democracy is under threat.
Mm.
And we haven't seen anything yet. If nothing is done to do it, and it's not just allowing the president, it's the people.
Mm.
The office of the citizen is very important. If we don't rise and kick against this thing and make sure the electoral laws we have more reforms, and then make them watertight, not giving rooms for this thing, all these distracting here and there, and then ambiguous interpretation. 2027 will be worse. I'm telling you, if God keeps us alive, we'll keep it going. I just hope it doesn't happen that way. Look at what happened in the elections now. In my state, Imo State, so many people, my people there, some of them called and said that when they declared the results, there was no election. That
yeah.
is true. And
we saw that happen, yeah.
And when the man was shouting, oh, she was soon, there's no election there. They started beating him. They talked already inside that hall, inside where they were collecting. You know, what kind of results is that? And they were there. They were helpless. Because it's as if they were already, taking sides, It was just at the last minute, after they had been beaten up the man, that the police line came. What kind of thing is that?
We still have our elections smear with violence.
Yes. The world is a global village now. It has gone viral, So when people start saying, oh, what about America? The capital. Okay, when the capital, what happened to the capital? What happened? It's not answering for it today, Abigail. Is it not going, facing justice?
Mm.
The justice is winning. Nobody's held accountable. But the worst part of it is that if you keep on allowing this thing go like that, one day it will happen to you. It will just like throwing a stone in the market. Look at Ajero now. Look at the issue of Ajero.
Mm.
Can you imagine that you have impunity? Does it mean, is it license for, immunity? Is it license for impunity? For how long will we continue like this?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Radio Mama, for your contribution. Hello, good morning. All right, do well to call back. Don't forget, we're asking you on the show right here. We're asking, how can we ensure we have freer and fairer elections in the future? And are you satisfied with the progress INEC made in the off-season elections? www.facebook.com/JFMJoss and off Twitter @JFMJoss. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Abigail.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
It's Israel. I'm calling you from Shaka.
All right, Israel, go ahead.
Yeah, Abigail, when you begin to pay attention to what is going on in this off-season election, it gets you depressed.
Yeah.
It's as if you are just deliberately wasting the time of citizens if you know election is not going to be transparent, it's not going to be credible, what is the use of the election in the first place? It's becoming clearer from one election to the other that the present government does not even want us to hold elections anymore. They want to be choosing for us. You want to choose for people. Why would you bring a pre-arranged result? And it was clear. It was clear. During an election, it was clear. People saw it. Imagine beating up an agent in an election collation room.
Wow.
For God's sake, openly in the glaring eyes of everybody,
yes,
that is lying. And putting an impression to people that you cannot do anything. It's what we want that will take place. And not even looking at the complaints, not even entertaining them, announcing that those people have won elections. It doesn't make sense. And the truth is, from the way our politicians are going, when you leave the people with no option, when they do not trust the electoral process anymore, when we do not trust elections, other options will begin to be appealing, will look more realistic to them. So if this direction they are going, who would have believed that Dino Malai himself,
yes,
would be treated this way this time? Was not part of those who did the same thing to others. So if you build a wrong system, you build a criminal system, when some other people take it over from you, they will see this evil on you too. So it's in our best interest to have a system that functions excellently, that functions well. Because if it continues to go like this, citizens themselves will begin to lean towards thuggery. And before you know it, begin to have gangs that are arranged for elections. And whichever gangs overpower the other, we take the day. And before you know it, it will spiral into a serious crisis. That is what causes war. It's causes like Somalia, Sierra Leone, Liberia. It's the same thing. It's election.
Yeah.
When one group becomes stronger than the other, they take. So it's better we make the system function well. It's in the interest of even the politicians themselves, those who feel they're in charge, it's in their interest that the system works well. Otherwise, it will affect everybody.
Thank you so much, Israel, for your contribution this morning. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. I do well to call back. Don't forget the number still to call 0905566699 or 0812187777. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. All right, do well to call us back. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Abigail.
Morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Ademi, calling you from Bochiro.
All right, Ademi, go ahead.
You see, my take this morning is this. You see, if we do not take the politics as we do or that affair, then there is no way we are going. Let's make political office to be unattractive. Let it be a voluntary office that will ask no fee. Because you see, the way our election is going in this nation, we are not supposed to allow particular types of people to just destroy this nation. You see, with the issue of INEC and a lot of challenges coming up, what baffles me most is of the court. The court said it is not more for INEC to transmit results on the IRE, that it is not constitutional. Then why is INEC promising us to give us a more credible election since it's an off-season election and in every state that is involved? You see, even the judiciary are not even helping matters. I didn't mean INEC were being penalized for not transmitting election results, being on the and complaining on it glitches, and will be accepted. So is that time that they do the needful? Let INEC to be penalized for their heart. By this, you will see that we get our electoral process correct. And let's make public office honestly to be unattractive. To make it a voluntary place that people have no pay. And by this, you see that a lot of things, a lot of shenanigans happening in our electoral system will reduce. Because the way things are going, these politicians are just using politics as an avenue to say bye-bye to poverty. And I thought they will look for every means to get to such offices. They will never accept this. I pray, God give us the wisdom to lead this nation. For this nation belongs to all of us.
It does belong to all of us, yeah.
We all are Nigerians. And I pray God will continue to bless this nation. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. I'm struggling to hear you. Good morning. All right, do well to call back 0905566699 or 0812187777. Hello, good morning.
good morning.
Morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Hello, this is Mr. Gabriel calling from Jos.
All right, Mr. Gabriel, go ahead.
Yeah, my message is just to the politicians. They should be very careful with the CDR doing. They very much so, that's what it's doing. Because they are trying to put Nigeria on fire. More of whatever they do, that's what they're doing. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for your contribution. Don't forget www.facebook.com/JFMJoss and on Twitter at JFMJoss. Don't forget we're also on Instagram and on YouTube. And the question we're asking today, how can we ensure we have freer and fairer elections in the future? And are you satisfied with the progress INEC made in the off-season elections? Be a part of the conversation this morning. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Please, can you turn down the volume of your radio set or move away from it, please?
Yes, I've already turned it off.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Okay, Abigail, my own concern is not whether the election is free or fair, because you already know what happens in Nigeria.
Your name and where are you calling us from, please?
I am Uncle Sam from Saminaka.
All right, Uncle Sam, go ahead.
Yes, my own concern is the businessmen that leave our works to go and stand under the sun, under the rain, to do this scam they call voting. The civil servants, when they don't vote on that Saturday, they will be paid. But we are out of we that leave our works to go and stand there, and after everything, they will just do what they want. So I want them to amend the electoral law that will accommodate the businessmen. If they can vote, if you can be voting and still be doing a business, that's my only two concerns, please.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution this morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Yes, this is Obinam from
the Obi Nam, go ahead.
Yes, the election that is fast. I'm not actually giving to INEC.
Obina, I'm struggling to hear you. If you can find somewhere where you have network coverage, it's breaking. The line is breaking, and so it's difficult to hear you. Hello? All right, Obina, do well to call us back so you can be a part of the show. Don't forget www.facebook.com/JFMJoss and off Twitter at JFMJoss. Try to squeeze in this last call. Hello, good morning. All right, do well to call us back. Your comments right here on Facebook. I'll read that quickly. Gordon A. Onyovosa saying, for how long will this injustice continue? Elections did not hold in some places in Imo and Kogi. God Almighty help us in this country called Nigeria. And Isaac Joshua Darling is saying, the current INEC chairman has shown his inability to conduct a trustworthy election accepted by all across the country since his emergence as INEC chairman. He should be sacked immediately, else his presence alone would cause voter apathy in future election. Julius Achiga is saying, good morning. INEC must be fully independent and corrupt free before we can have free and fair election in this country. Nigerians have lost confidence on INEC since cause they are not sincere and they have been compromised by the APC administration. Well, your take. May God rescue Nigerians from the hardship of this APC administration. God bless JFM and Plateau people. Thank you and God bless you too. Sunday Moses Evie saying, good morning. Elections in Nigeria is a total waste of time and resources. INEC should be scribed. The problem of Nigeria is the judiciary and INEC. Charity Halle is saying, our politicians have used tribal, religious and party sentiments to divide the masses and we have embraced it. They have where they meet, but what about us? I was thinking this election will be different from the general election, but nothing different as there was still vote buying and violence, etc. And she said, too bad. Actually, it's too bad that even at this point, we still have a case of vote buying. We still have the case of rigging. We still have the case of ballot snatching. We still have a case of violence. People beating up a polling unit is still alarming. Prince Jake is saying, moral deficit in the country. Well, it is sad. And move on to Twitter this morning, where Timothy Go Warm at Mr. Teams underscore G saying, as far as I'm concerned, INEC has not made any meaningful progress. INEC succeeded in making many Nigerians not to believe the process and swore not to vote again because their votes are not counted, which the ruling class actually want to remain in power. He said Yakubu should be in jail. And he said, in order for Nigeria to have free and fair and credible election, INEC must be truly independent. The chairman of INEC and other top officers shouldn't be appointed by the president. Transmission of results to the IRF should be mandatory. Manual collation should be scrapped. Well, we still want to say, thanks to technology, a few discrepancies here and there have been able, we've been able to move past that. But apart from that, we still have where you have result sheets being manual and you see a lot of corrections, you see a lot of errors. We see the case of Kogi where elections were conducted in some polling units and you have results coming out of there, already written results. We still have that problem. I'll try to squeeze in this one call before I leave the studio this morning. Hello, good morning. Yes, loud and clear, Madam Queen. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Madam Queen calling from Abadula.
Yes, Madam Queen, go ahead.
You see, this is what they call election on Saturday. I hear you reading out the conversation message of Mr. President. If we surely do that, because it's on a very video, how he was putting the FCC to snap the power and run the authority. And this is exactly what they are doing. They will now set people to go to court. When people go to court, they will tell you, we will need who then you ban who is low and who is low. At the end of the day, there are some justice upside down. Nigerian people need to wake up. Do they need to wake up?
Thank you so much, Madam Queen, for your contribution. A lot of you have said Nigerians should wake up. We should get our leaders accountable. We should be a part of the process. I want to believe and say that Nigerians are doing the best that they can, and they are doing what they are supposed to do, coming out there and even still voting after all of this, and also airing your concerns and raising your voices when you see that things are not going right. I think Nigerians are doing their bid when it comes to playing their participatory role as patriotic citizens. But what of our leaders? What about the electoral bodies? What about them? They are not meeting their end of their roles. They are not meeting their end of the bargains, and they are not conducting free or fair elections in the country. Nigerians are going out there standing under the queues and thumbprinting, and we'll get this in return. It's quite sad and disheartening, and we're hoping that come next elections that would be conducted, INEC will put their house in order and also be able to redeem their names in the sand of times. Don't forget that this was Let's Talk on your Super Feel Good radio station, J101.9 FM. The news comes up by 10 o'clock. Myself, Abigail Seaman, I'm saying goodbye and have a lovely Tuesday morning.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.